You're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. Time for another edition of Off the Wall. Chapter 3 Estonia Part 2
valdkonda ja selle mõte siis on see, et Founderspace kutsub neid tarkvara ettevõtete asutajaid, kellel on see raha hetkel veel paperil nagu tegema tuleviku lubaduse, et kui ma kui see ettevõte läheb börsile või ma siis mingil muul moel sellest ettevõtte nüüd oma osalus maha müün saan selle suure jõukuse omanikuks siis mingi protsent sellest läheb hea tegevuseks ja alustatakse seal 1-2%, et Martin on teinud väga kiire hüppe olles selle kogukonna liige ja mõtestanud siis sellist pikemat perspektiivi ka nagu mitte ainult siis jõsaga ka selle päranduse või pärimise mõttes.
No me tuleme Martiniga 11 vist paarkümmend aastat ja ta on olnud ka ettevõtlikuna otsa koja liige minu teada ja no, tegelikult on ühiskondlike algatustega ka varem tegelenud. Martin on üks ka koodi õhvi asutajatest ja mida see tegelikult märgib on ühesõnaga, superrikastel ka maailmas, neil võib hästi palju raha olla. Aga ega meil ei ole liiga palju neid võimekad organisatsioone, kuhu see suur raha sisse panna. Ehk siis suuri kombaine, et panen selle raha kõik sinna sisse saanud, ma ei tea, 5 aastaga malaariast lahti Aafrikas. Et neid ei ole, et kui me ÜRO ja Giidial toimevad asutused nagu kõrvale jätame, siis enamus NGO-sid või MTÜ-sid on maailmas hästi väikesed. Et kui nad kohalikul tasandil ka suudavad midagi ära teha, siis sellise suurema skaalal, kui paned miljardi kuhugel, et kes seda suudavad ära ekseldada, neid on vähe. Ja see tõttu kipuvad need rikkurid tegelikult asutama siis neid ettevõtted või organisatsioone või koole, mille kaudu tegelikult seda mõju saavutada. ehk siis see on üks järjekordne selline ülesanne ja teistpidi kui NGO-de poolt või MTÜ-de poolt vaadata, et siis siis mõtelge selle peale, et kas see ärimudel on skaleeritav, kas on kasvatatav, et kui teile panna palju raha sisse, et kas te suudate seda mõju ka 1000 või 10 000 korda saavutada, mis te saavutaksite ainult võib-olla oma kogukonnas, et siis, siis muutuvad nende MTÜ-de atraktiivseks ka nende suurte rahastajate või nende fondide heaks.
Jah, Estonian Business School audoktorina on ju Martin Villik tegelikult Koodjofi taga ja Taavet Hindrikusega koos Heateo haridusfondi loonud sellest saame rääkida põhjalikumalt kindlasti juba ka intervjuu blokkides Pirko Valgega. Nüüd aga kuulame ära kaubanduslikud teadaanded ning seejärel jätkame.
This place has been here forever and will probably be here for a much longer time and it's just very comforting. It really is. They have great coffee here. Always get a good night's sleep somehow. It's really and the history too. The history of Estonia is something to study as they were occupied by the Soviet Union up until the early 90s gained their independence then. And they've been prospering since. They're one of the most connected countries on earth.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You get the sense that they are really quite serious about their future and sovereignty. And there was a big modernization effort after that independence. If you think about it, right around the 90s, there was a lot going on with telecommunications, and a place like Estonia embraced it and didn't stop. And they aren't hamstrung to consolidation and single entities in the same way we are in America. And as a result, I believe some of the NATO cybersecurity leadership is here, as well as many other ISP and telecommunications-oriented businesses. And it really is astounding how well the internet works and I think they're using that infrastructure in as many ways as they can to secure that future. And it really is inspiring. And I never once had the sensation that any of this was ever going to belong to the Russian Federation or anybody else. People are very, very passionate and serious about their independence, that hard fought for independence, and that understanding of history, I don't think fades very quickly.
Well, now they're full members of NATO, and they're very, as Kyle said, aware of their independence, resentment towards Russia for the occupation. And of course, you know, during the war, World War II, they were occupied by the Germans, and the Soviets bombed parts of this city, including parts of Old Town. So there's all kinds of history to go around. But right now it's a period of stability. It was really easy to get to from Helsinki and cheap too. You know, only about 25-30 euro to take a 2-hour ferry ride. And there's a lot of ferries too. And boy, these ferries are big. They're as big as ocean liners, and you can even get a room for a 2-hour trip, which is kind of weird. Going to be easier to get to Tallinn in the future. The first time I came here in 2003, it was such a pain to take trains that I opted for a bus. And I hate buses. But in this particular case, this might be our train coming in on track 4. Hang on, is there another train on track 4? No, that this will be our train. I think we should wait till they tell us to board. There were transfer points between the three Baltic republics, and they took hours. So if you wanted to, say, travel from Vilnius to Tallinn, it would take you over a day by train to do that. They have recently, as of this year, I believe, beginning of this year, hang on.
Lugupeetud reisijad, reis Tallinn-Paldiski väljub 5 minuti pärast. Uuendab teed. Reis Tallinn-Paldiski väljub 5 minuti pärast. Uuendab teed.
Yes. This year they made it easier, the connection between Valga and Valga to Tallinn and Valga to Riga is only about 15 minutes as opposed to hours. So that cuts down the entire trip between the three capitals to I think about 6 or 7 hours. And it's going to get even faster next year. They're going to make one non-transferable train next year where you don't have to switch at Valga. So that's going to speed things up even more, maybe 4 or 5 hours. And then by 2030, they're going to have some kind of high-speed rail installed that's going to make it possible to do the entire trip in just a couple of hours. So that's what people here are doing with their infrastructure. They are constantly improving it, and quietly, too. Just, you know, building and building, and before you know it, Tallinn is as easy to get to as Berlin. I look forward to that.
Yeah, and those connections are so crucial economically and for security and basic interfacing with the rest of Europe and their neighbors. And I love seeing places that care about this stuff because they understand it's necessary to keep their nation, to keep their cities on par and competitive in the wider global arena.
It's good to see a small country like this just become better and better and have that kind of confidence. Speaking of confidence, I'm confident this is our train because it says Valga. It even says the time on the front of it, 10:10. It's only 9:40 with a half hour, but I think why don't we just get on the train because my hands are freezing out here. We haven't seen any snow. But we have experienced some wind and biting cold temperatures. But I sure would like to see some snow. And it's especially ironic because it snowed back home when we were away. So we missed out on that. But, this is our train. This is first class. This won't be us. We're in second class at least. I just like the labeling on these orange trains here. They say where they're going, what time they leave, all the stops, and couldn't be clearer, couldn't be easier to figure out.
I see a very small kiosk, so I think maybe you buy your ticket from the machine on the train.
Okay, so no human interaction here either. That's fine. You know, by the way, we stayed in another, what is this diesel or is this electric?
That's diesel in the middle here.
But this is an electric train, isn't it?
Well, it very much reminds me of the hybrid trains that you'd see in the outer parts of Germany, so it's probably similar in that it's both.
Okay, all right, well, we're on the train now. Let's see if we can figure out how to buy the ticket. Okay, there's an English button, there's Russian and English, and the default, of course, is Estonian. Buy a ticket. Okay, so I need my credit card for this. Hang on.
Once again, tap to pay makes this really very, very simple. Now, if you switch that to English, is this going to expect us to have a card or give us a receipt?
No, it takes credit cards as well. But look at this screen next to us. How do you describe that screen? It looks so perfect as I drop my credit card. It looks so perfect and clear. It says that the stops, Tallinn, Kitsikula, Alamisti, and Valga.
Yeah, very much has like a built-in bezel and it's built into the wall next to this, and yeah, it's very clearly displaying in the colors, that orange livery of this particular train. I really think we should look at this machine though and get these tickets, because I'm a little concerned we don't have anything to put them on.
Okay, I just want to finish describing this. Has the time, has the date, has the train number, destination, speed, and the temperature outside. Couldn't be happier. Okay, I'm going to go to English here, and I see buy a ticket. Swipe to begin, so I'm going to, I guess, do the contactless thing. It's beeped. I'm not going to Vilnius. Let's see. Scroll down.
Nothing, you passed it.
I did? You saw Riga?
Yeah.
Where?
Valga. Oh, wait, no, Riga.
Okay, well,
yeah, I'm sorry. I thought we switched in Volga.
Well, yeah, but I see Vilnius here now. Okay, there's Volga. So, 20 euro. That's not bad. So, going to Volga, standard class ticket or standard class discounted ticket. Well, I don't know what the discounted ticket would be for. So, I'll go with the standard class ticket. Oh, well, my time's running out. Okay, continue. So, one of those. And then confirm payment. Ticket purchased. Please present your ticket to train attendant. Ticket is activated on your travel card. Where's the ticket? I don't see a ticket.
Yeah, this is what I was worried about. I don't really see a way for us to store the fact that we have a ticket. You just bought one, but how do you prove it?
I don't know. Isn't that up to them? I use my card.
Yeah. I don't know if we have these transit cards, the OOT card that we bought. Is that something that could store it, you think?
Well, I already bought it. Is it on my credit card? How do I prove it's on my credit? Do they read my credit card somehow?
I honestly think we're going to have to do some search, maybe ask artificial intelligence or something what exactly and how this works, because I honestly don't know.
Okay. Well, I might have just thrown away 20 euro. That happens sometimes. But what's this? What's that error? So I'll swipe to begin. Okay, well, this is what happens sometimes. You wind up picking a misstep.
Yeah.
What do you want to do from here?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
But we're on the train. We're on the train, so that's good, at least.
Would it be any better if I did? Yeah, we're on. That's true.
Hopefully the person speaks English. I can explain what I did. You know, I have it all documented. Oh, it's audio, though. It's no real proof. You know what? I can throw away 20 euro. It's not that big a deal. Pisses me off, but it's not that big a deal.
There is a barcode reader on the bottom, but we don't have anything with a barcode.
Whoa, you just lit it up by touching it. What does that do?
Well, it's sensing that I'm placing something in front of it. I guess you'd hold a receipt with a barcode.
Look, it says credit card. I used the credit card. Hopefully the conductor speaks English and I can explain the situation. Maybe they can figure it out for me. Otherwise, I'll just do it again. Not the worst thing in the world.
Well, what do I do?
I don't know. We each have our own challenges here. You're standing on a train without a ticket, and I've bought a ticket that I can't prove. The fun of travel.
You think I should do the same thing?
I don't think you should do the same thing, no, because it's clear that I did something wrong.
Yeah. It may not be.
It may not be.
Maybe someone can explain.
I'm sure everybody can explain, because we don't understand, but let's get out of the way so other people can use it. I honestly thought we'd be buying from a person, not from a machine.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was really nothing at all to worry about. Turns out that they have such a good system here that using my credit card to buy the ticket established some kind of a token on my credit card. So all they had to do was take my credit card and tap it on something else. And it said, yes, this credit card bought a ticket a few minutes ago. That's how it worked for you, Kyle?
Yeah, it was exactly the same experience, and it's slightly different, but you can use contactless payment that's integrated into a phone or some sort of smartwatch, so it's really advanced compared to anything we've used. It's something we're catching up with in the States, but to have something so very simple and easy, when I went to get my ticket, it took me less than a minute to do it because I had kind of seen all the steps and was confident at that point.
Yeah, that's kind of been the theme of our trip, is getting things done quickly without human intervention. I know we criticized that in Iceland, but we had a very good experience both in Finland and in Estonia with the same hotel chain, where basically the rooms are amazing, it's super cheap, there's no human check-in, it's all done automatically, but there are humans around in case there's an issue that you need to have dealt with, That's, I think, a good trend. You can do this in a good way or you can do it in a bad way. And I think Iceland, they didn't really do it very well because there was that fire alarm that everybody was puzzled by and nobody responded to. But you can do some good things with automation or unattended operations.
Yeah, there's a right way and sort of the ad hoc, scrappier way. We really have seen quite the spectrum of that type of service, and it does displace employees, but at the same time, you end up saving in money and time, and that value really does compete with some of the older models.
It certainly does.
So now, as we're on our way to Vaga, everything is very well labeled, announcements being made pretty frequently. We know exactly where we are, we know when we're going to get to where we're going, and it's just really kind of amazing. As we get closer to the exit of Estonia, any final thoughts on this country?
Well, I just realized there's so much to explore. I've only seen just a little small sliver of it, but I definitely would be interested in coming back, making connections, meeting more people, discussing, you know, what life's like, and just exploring maybe even further afield or other cities within this nation. But when I hear about Estonia and when I hear about some of the other places we've been, like Finland, I'm definitely going to have a fondness and a sort of clarity of mind on what it's like and what their interests are, and just in my head have a sense of place with how they're talked about and how their thinking interacts with the rest of the geopolitical world, as that's how I come to learn about what's going on in these places when I'm not traveling to them.
Yeah, I think the only advice that I can really offer is to just take your time exploring. Don't worry about having to see a certain amount of things, having to be places within a certain amount of time. You're going to make your own way. You're going to figure it out. You're going to see things nobody else has seen, and you're going to hopefully make observations that nobody has made before. It'll be interesting to see, though, how this compares to the other Baltic republics and where it goes in the future. I really, really look forward to the high-speed rail. Oh, can we talk about that before we go, Kyle? We just saw the preparation for the high-speed rail next to the track that we're currently riding on.
It was so impressive. It must have been like several, I want to say 10, 5 or 10 miles, but basically the progression of moving drainage and utilities and the excavation and preparation, pouring of foundations and shoring up of the terrain right next to the current track. And I can only assume that that's going to be a part of the larger system that they're establishing for those additional trains and higher speed ones eventually. And they're doing it while this train is working, basically alongside it, so that it doesn't disrupt the current service. It just merely expands it, and they'll just be able to cut over when that service is ready.
Yeah, or just run at the same time. I'm not exactly sure what the plan is, but it's clear that they thought it through, and it's not just one part of the land that they're working on. They're working the whole strip, so this thing is going to be done, I presume, by 2030.
Yeah, and one of the areas where they were doing actual pouring of concrete and some of the rebar and really the final work of utilizing that space, there were like 5 cranes and, you know, 30 people all doing different things just at an incredible pace while we were stopped briefly.
Yeah, I was worried because we were stopped underneath the cranes. And there, there were 5 cranes, and all of them seemed to be above us at a particular station stop. But that's just indicative of the progress that's being made here. The city seems to have grown a lot. The city of Tallinn seems to have grown quite a lot since I've been here last in 2003, which would make sense, I guess. And I'm curious how the other cities in the Baltics look. We're going to check that out next time. Oh, you know, I did not hear once that song by Tommy Cash. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I didn't hear it. I know what the song is. And even when you got one of those drinks.
Yeah, number 3 in Eurovision this year, 2025. Estonia almost won with this song, which we've played before, by the way. Not in Estonian. It's in English. But it's still something that I think Estonians are quite proud of.
There's a young person who's exploring and having a little adventure.
Yeah, there's also a dog on board that's been barking incessantly. But you know, the dog seems to know that we're recording. is giving us some quiet now, so I appreciate that. But we're going to go back to enjoying our train ride here, and I will be talking to you again soon. And you know what? Why not play that song? Good night.
Macchiato, macchiato, por favore, espresso macchiato a Corleone. Espresso macchiato. Ciao bella, I'm Tommaso, addicted to tobacco. Me like me coffee, very importante. No time to talk, excuse me. My days are very busy, and I just only sit to ristorante. Life may give you lemons when dancing with the demons. No stress, no stress, no need to be depresso.
Mio amore, espresso macchiato, 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 por favore, espresso macchiato, corneo. Espresso macchiato.
Me like to fly privati with 24 carati. Also mi casa very grandioso. Mi money numeroso. I work around the clock. That's why I'm sweating like a mafioso. Life is like spaghetti. It's hard until you make it. No stress, no stress. It's gonna be espresso.
Espresso macchiato. Espresso macchiato.
Chapter 4, Latvia.
Radio Sconto.
Видел холод любимых глаз и боль несказанных нами фраз. Время не лечит и забыть не дает, и только сердце сжимает тоска. Слез невыплаканных река, мы печали с собой берега. И нам не быть вдвоем в эту ночь.
Hey there, it's Off the Wall, Emmanuel and Kyle, and we are in Riga.
Yes, in the wonderful country of Latvia. It is the capital city.
That's right, and it's an amazing city. It really is worth exploring. We've spent the last few days doing just that. Right now we're sitting in a place called Caffeine. Guess what they serve here? Yeah, it's I guess it's kind of like a Starbucks chain, but it's popular in these parts. And we are in the train station because we are preparing to leave this place. We should not be here. We should not be in this place because we found out that the train was sold out. The train to Lithuania is completely sold out, and we felt we had to take a bus to get there. And I was very depressed by that. But as it turns out, if you keep refreshing the web page for the train to Vilnius from Riga, you'll see some changes over the hours that you do that. First change I saw when looking for two seats was, well, first of all, everything said sold out over and over again. Then it said not enough seats. And what does that mean? Not enough seats? It means that there's one ticket available, but not two. Interesting. So that means that things change. That's what I learned. And so I kept doing that, and eventually we were able to get two seats. And I quickly filled out the form, and we were able to book passage on this train. But it's a really good feeling to be able to do that and find your way out. The thing is, you know, when we went to say goodbye to our friend Greg up in Whitehorse, I learned a lesson as far as how to book travel, because what I had done in that particular case was book things based on the assumption that other modes of transportation weren't going to be complicated or disrupted. And the first thing that happened to us, Air Canada booked us on two flights, one from Newark to Montreal, the Montreal to Vancouver, didn't give us enough time to get through customs. And so we missed the connecting flight and wound up losing a day as a result of that. Now, they still haven't taken responsibility, by the way. It's pretty unbelievable. But that screwed up all kinds of other accommodations that had been made, and everything had to be pushed back a day. So what I do now is I don't book ahead. I wait until we get to our destination before booking the next leg. That means staying somewhere. That means whatever mode of transportation. And had I booked the train in advance, I probably wouldn't have faced the sold-out dilemma. So there's risks, no matter how you do it. But it worked out, and in not very many minutes from now, we will be on a train to Vilnius, a packed train to Vilnius. But, yeah, so any thoughts on that?
I wouldn't say you learned it. I would say you relearned it, because it was sort of a rude reminder of that complication. I think you already knew or already acted that way in previous forms of travel, but it's been a while, and in re-embracing that, you get these sorts of experiences that bring you back to the realities of travel. And I think you'd always been that kind of a travel planner, where you wait a little bit, and in this case you were very, very confident that there were a lot of options for the bus, and instead of panicking and making hasty arrangements on whatever bus would get us there so we weren't stranded for an appreciable amount of time, and then having those cascading effects on our schedule, you were able to basically give yourself time and give us time to really know that that train was sold out. And in this case, it was really fortunate. But you had enough time, a day or so, to wait it out and see if maybe there was a possibility. And using that ended up keeping us from losing days and other reservations on the remainder of our trip, including a hotel you'd already paid for here and other stuff like that. So good going with your gut and instincts, and as I said, relearning something that I think you knew deep down, but it took that fresh experience to remember, oh yeah, that's why we don't do this.
I just really didn't want to take a long bus ride, you know. I did that the first time I came to these republics, the Baltics, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia. I really want to do it by train. I want to do the whole thing by train, so I'm very happy that we were able to get on board. But let's talk more about Riga, because, boy, this is a fascinating city. Yeah, as soon as we arrived, we realized this is very different from Tallinn in Estonia. To me, at least, it had more of a Russian feel to it. You know, I don't mean to offend Latvians by saying that, obviously, there seems to be more Russian language being spoken. But there's also something, the mood of the streets, kind of like this faster pace. And just a lot of back and forth as far as transactions and just getting around. It's, you know, an interesting place, a different place. It's got kind of a New York feel as well, as far as the grittiness. I think that was the word we kept coming back to. This city has a grittiness to it.
Yeah, it's much rougher around the edges and grittier. The things that come to mind are like diesel fumes and cigarette smoke. It's a lot of cigarette smoking. And yeah, just a harder feel. Graffiti in places that just doesn't seem to be quickly dealt with. It just lingers. And yeah, that sort of worn feel of a place that is maybe a little too busy keeping up to be preoccupied with details. Not sweating those details that in other places they might not tolerate, or they might quickly try to cover them over and keep up their appearance. Here, it's such an old place with all the cobblestone and historic architecture. And just maintaining that, I think, is an effort and takes a lot of attention. And that sense that you want to maybe leave things as they are maybe extends over into some of those things that other places find, you know, less desirable. Here, it's a matter of fact. It's like, yeah, you know, you got to keep moving. You got to keep up with the pace of life. And yeah, there was a lot of brisk walking, and just that landing when we first arrived, being a little disoriented, and it was quite cold, and not knowing certain things about making transfers when we caught the train to connect and make our way to the city. I believe it was Varga.
Varga was the border town in Estonia. Yeah, that was kind of crazy because we all got off at this the station, and there were signs for the train to Riga, which in the language is actually spelled R-I-I-A, not R-I-G-A, so you had to keep that in mind. But the times were different. The schedule had expired. It expired in mid-December, and there was nobody there to help. So all these people just got off this train. And there were really only two tracks that a train could come in on, so that was kind of comforting. We knew we had about 25, 30 minutes to make the connection, and our train was still sitting on the track that it let us off at. So, you know, nobody seemed to really be paying it any mind. I was growing concerned because, you know, I like to know what's going on. And what I wound up doing was cutting through the train that was still parked there. You press a little green button, the door opens, you walk through the train, press the other green button, and you're on the other side, kind of like what happens at Jamaica Station. And when I got to the other side, I found this whole group of people that was just standing there, and I found out quickly that in fact was the right platform for the train to Riga. And eventually what happened was the train to Riga showed up, and the train that we had been on that was still sitting there was heading back to Tallinn, so that was a connection. And it was a very tight connection for those people that were coming back on the train from Latvia. So that all happened. We all got on the train, and everything worked out. But it was a little dicey there for a moment. Kyle, you were talking about the brisk walking here. I want to talk about the close walking. Boy, people really tail you. And, you know, it's like you have to be careful when you're carrying a knapsack, which is really all I have is a knapsack. You fling it back behind your back. You got to be sure you don't hit somebody in the head who's standing right there. Even if you're walking, people get that close. Like, I was walking earlier today, and I just looked to my right, and I saw a hand there, a hand that was literally in front of me because they were throwing something in a trash can that I had not yet even passed. That's how close people are sometimes, and if you stop short, they will collide with you. I don't know why that's necessary. There's plenty of room to walk on the streets. It's just, I guess, a custom and something that I need to get used to.
Indeed, yeah. The walking is itself a little perilous. A lot of people aren't really paying attention. They're not anticipating where you are if you're crossing opposite and someone's approaching. They're on their phone. They tend not to be that observant. So you might, like, have to adjust and walk around someone who really doesn't care to get out of the way for you. There's a little bit of, like, I don't know, it feels like inconsideration there that, well, they're on their phone or something, so you're the one that has to watch out, which to me is completely backwards.
You're being too kind, because what I saw, crossing streets especially, these people weren't on their phones. They were just barreling towards us, and they would not move. And so, you know, I'm trying to get out of the way, but there's other people to the left of them and to the right of them, and it's very awkward, and you wind up almost walking directly into people. And, you know, I said to you earlier, you know what, I'm just going to stand still one of these days and see what happens, see if they just walk over me. These little things, they're funny, but they are cultural differences of one sort or another. But, you know, we learned a couple of things today on our last day here in Riga that I thought were absolutely fascinating. We were trying to get on a bus. I think it was the number 3 bus or, yeah, something like that. That bus passed us. Well, actually, there was a block with 3 different bus stations on it. We were in the middle one. And I saw the 3 bus stop at the first station, and then it went right past our station, and it was a stop that was supposed to have the 3 bus. Turns out they have a system where they differentiate electric buses, the ones where the overhead wires power the bus, from regular, I guess, diesel-powered buses, and also trams. So you could have a number 3 electric bus, a number 3 diesel bus, and a number 3 tram. And they can be in close proximity. And they differentiate with color coding and with little icons and things like that. But I had no idea that the buses actually use the same numbers for a different type of bus. So I learned that lesson pretty quickly today. I don't know why they don't just use other numbers, but that's their system. I noticed it in Tallinn where they use the same tram numbers as bus numbers. I thought that was the extent of it. They don't have electric buses up there that I could see. But here they have all 3 types. So that was really fascinating.
Yeah, and the system itself is really, really interesting. We stayed near the train station, just right around the corner from a very beautiful, ornate building that is, I believe, some sort of Ministry of Science or some science-oriented bureau. And it was a really good landmark for us to be able to see. And then that walk to get to and from there, it had a lot of buses, but it wasn't really something that had a stop near it. So our first impulse was, okay, we need to learn this transit system, whether there's a stop here or not. If we want to get around anywhere, we're going to have to be on buses, because just walking to the station every day, which is sort of necessary given the lack of a stop, it's going to be a thing in and of itself, let alone getting around the city. So the information on Wikipedia and what we read on the local transit site, which I did prior to our arrival here, sort of in the middle of the night, I just looked into all this stuff, learning about their e-tokens and the different cards. They have a yellow card, which is like a more disposable card, and then several other types of cards. They also use apps a lot. You'd see people getting on a bus, and they would scan a QR code, and their app would register that trip. And that itself was a process. The first day, we ended up getting what is called a yellow card, which you can buy out of kiosks or... In our case, we went to a place called Maxima, which is like a little convenience store. And I had tried to negotiate. I wanted to get the hard plastic cards. They have several versions of those. One is, in our probably better suited for us, the personalized one. But that requires you to have it mailed to you, and it has a lot of your personal info associated with it. I wanted the non-personalized card. And in talking to the cashier at the convenience store, she just indicated, no, I only have this one type. So that got us going on the system the first day. But and it was loaded with a day pass, and they do that at the cash register at some of these stores.
It worked really well. We got on buses and trams, and we were able to go all around the city with the day pass. But you wanted something more, and even I was having doubts as to whether or not it was possible. We came here to Central Station yesterday, and you were pretty insistent that you were going to find the hard plastic card, which we've been collecting in various cities, and it's awesome to have this because you can come back. You know, it's something that will still work. Plus, it just is something that's collectible. And we went into a supermarket, and you asked the cashier, who was a young guy and, you know, spoke English and all that, where you could find something like that. And he gave you, you know, an answer to the best of his ability, but within minutes, you proved that you know more about their system than they do. You want to tell us how that worked?
Sure, he wasn't just in any place. This person was at a store within the central station. So what we did is I asked him, you know, where is this kind of card? Can we get this particular type of card? And I was showing them the picture of it on my phone, and I was indicating that I wanted the non-personalized card. And he asked his supervisor and was basically demurring and telling me, no, you have to go to some kind of store and I was even feeding him the answer. Yes, a service point? And yes, a service point. Customer service, yeah.
Just like in Tallinn. And while you were doing this, there was a whole line of people backed up behind you that it was the only checkout counter.
Yeah, and this was a different type of convenience store. And I knew many of these different stores offered the same type of stuff, because the transit system has a map of all the places that you can get e-tokens. They're called e-tokens. So he's telling me, yeah, you have to go to some place. And I was like, well, okay, so where is that service point here? I'm in Central Station. Maybe he knows. I realize, why am I appealing to someone who, no offense to people who work at convenience stores, but of course the cashier at the convenience store in the Central Station isn't quite an expert on where customer service is for the transit system. What was I thinking? So I gave up on him. I was like, I'm out of here. We walked out, and I was feeling a bit deflated, like, okay, this is never going to happen. And I looked up the mezzanine. There's an escalator, and I saw the logo for the local transit system. And I said, there it is. Let's go. I went up the escalator, took a number, got in line, and was able to negotiate with a very pleasant woman who was taking my number and just laid out basically everything I had expected she would say. You have to pay a deposit. I believe a €2.50 deposit, and then she asked what kind of passes we want loaded on, or if we want passes loaded at all. And since we didn't want to get another one of the yellow cards or reload the yellow card, I told her to put day passes on it. And the distinction is the yellow cards only last for 6 months, and you must use your rides within a certain period of time. The harder plastic ones are good for 10 years. And as you said, it's really convenient. I mean, there's been situations in the States and in other countries when they had the Oyster card in England roll out, or in even the Netherlands. Early on, there were paper cards with RFID, and many of them have moved on to something that's a harder plastic, like the Omni card, like the Orca card, like the cards in D.C. or the cards in L.A. They're all quite similar. They're all contactless, near-field communication, whatever you want to call it, RFID, that's what it is. So yes, we're collecting those, and that way when we go places, we can just say, like, okay, what transit cards do we need? And then we don't have to go and buy them. We can just top them up or load them or have them ready to go wherever we are. It's kind of cool, and it makes us feel savvy. So after she handed those to us, I was feeling really good. Like, literally, like, 2 minutes after I had been told by someone that he has no clue, and as you said, I feel like I was proving to myself that I knew way more about this, really just from looking it up, looking on Wikipedia, figuring out, okay, what is available and how does it work.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think you could see that customer service office from the store where the guy told you that it wasn't possible. So that's the kind of thing, you know, individual wins over the state, I guess.
And he was even saying at 4:30 on Friday, and it's also Frantic Friday, the week before Christmas, which is itself a very busy day, he was implying that there's no way that even if I find a service point, it'll be open. Yeah, well, guess what, bud? It was open. There was one person ahead of me and a lot of empty chairs, so it was fine. And that enabled us to really get out there. The other day we spent here, we used the yellow card that we bought at the first convenience store, and that was suitable. It worked very well. We were able to get on buses, able to get on trams, and we really had a good time. We kind of went off in random directions at one point on a tram. We also got to explore Old Town, and Old Town's a really big deal here. We had some fantastic coffee and some food. particularly at what is a traditional Christmas market here in Dome Square, which is renowned. We had seen some people actually talking about it on YouTube and realized, oh my gosh, this is going on now. Everything is very old, very medieval, in proper style of what Old Town is, the cobble and the very, very historic architecture. They build this entire town with cast iron and wood fire pits with all kinds of food bubbling and ready for people to try and consume as they wander around the Christmas market. We got a couple plates and we got a particularly interesting rye drink that is similar to mulled wine, and it's renowned here. It's called balsam.
Black balsam.
Black balsam, and we got the currant flavored, which is a sort of a berry flavor, and they warm it up similar to mulled wine. So we tried that, and we got a plate of some meats and stuff just to kind of bolster the cold and give us some sustenance. And just explored, looked at all the different things in the market. There's a lot of people just taking it in, tourists and I think locals alike. And after a while, we made our way to what was a really fascinating stop. You found this. This was the Museum of the Occupation of Latvia. And I recommend if anyone wants a good primer to the history of Latvian independence and what occupation means to them. And also the sort of implications in other places that are occupied and how Latvians sympathize with that. You should go to this museum. There are some fantastic exhibits there, and it is a really eye-opening explainer, and it really helps you realize why things are the way they are and where a lot of the linguistic and other sorts of cultural demographics and attitudes come from in Latvia.
Yeah, being occupied is a universal language that so many people can attest to. So it's a must-see if you are in Riga to learn about the history of this country, the long period of occupation by the Soviets, what happened to the people, deportation of people who were Latvian for decades, centuries. So many tragic stories and things that we're not aware of, things that we really don't know about in the States. Now, what's amazing is that this place is very cheap. It's reachable, but it's going to be even more reachable when the high-speed rail opens to the three Baltic republics. Now, in 2030, I believe there'll be a seamless transit route from Warsaw to Tallinn, stopping at Vilnius, Riga on the way. But that is gearing up for an even faster route that'll make the entire trip in just a couple of hours. That's going to be amazing. The EU has really pumped a lot of money into this. We saw the construction on the Riga train station, which is phenomenal. So get ready for this region to become a hotspot. It really is. The things we've talked about today accentuate a bit of it. But there is so much more. The Old Town alone is just worth days and days exploring.
Yeah, the architecture, the design, and overall build is underway. They are working on it as we speak. It is a really beautiful, curved, sort of just really organic shape that this train station covering and platform area will be to allow for this high speed. And I really think as a lot of the assessments for this whole project have stated, it will have a huge impact on this city and on the region. And I think maybe some of those things that are lacking attention, that might be what others consider too rough to be around, those things will probably improve because of the connectedness and because of the attention being paid to something as pivotal as your central station. So seeing that go up really makes you realize, okay, this place is, this is going to change, and it's going to be a benefactor of that project.
I'm getting a little antsy because our train leaves in less than 20 minutes, and we really had to work to get on this train. But I just want to point out two things quickly before we go. That's we're sitting at this caffeine outlet in Central Station in Riga, opposite from something called Eurogold.lv, LV being a top-level domain for Latvia. All these people are crowded around looking at these coins. I don't know. What would you call it, Kyle? What is it that's fascinating to them?
Yeah, it's sort of money, like metals and jewelry and novelty. I don't even know what they are. They're like medallions and pendants, commemorative coins. I see gold bills and just a lot of different sorts of money and coinage that you can trade in, and they're all just sort of brightly on display.
People are fascinated by it. There's never been a moment where we're sitting here where people are not looking in that window. So that's something right there. The other thing I want to mention extremely quickly is we went out earlier to find mate in a local store, and the guy had already opened the bottles for us and then told us that, oh, well, we only take cash, and we don't have any cash. We've been using our card the whole time. So we said, oh, we don't have cash. We're really sorry. He said, oh, we have a system. And they have a system. Kyle, in 30 seconds, can you describe the system?
Yeah, it's basically they're ordering online. You go to their website and check out. So I basically scanned the QR, went to their site. They were already making the order. We got a couple orders of fries and the drinks. So they had made it, and we're just basically trusting that we would navigate their site, pay for our order. And as soon as I got the transaction to go through, I just showed him that I had done it, and the timer was going. He looked on like an iPad or something, gave me a thumbs up, so we were all set.
Amazing. Even when you think you've been defeated, nope, they have a system. Okay, we got to run for this train to Vilnius now in Lithuania. Hopefully we can still get on it. All right. We will talk to you again next time.
Ar ziņām 9 no rīta studijā Laura Zaķe. Eiropas Savienības dalību valstu līderi šonakt vienojās par 90 miljārdu eiro lielā aizdevuma piešķiršanu Ukrainai, lai palīdzētu risināt Ukrainas budžeta problēmas. Tomēr līderi nespēja vienoties par iesaldēto Krievijas aktīvu izmantošanu šo līdzekļu iegūšanai. Turpina Ulvis Ķezberis.